Welcome to the Health Fix Podcast, where health junkies get their weekly fix of tips, tools, and techniques to have limitless energy, sharp minds, and fit physiques for life. Hey, health junkies. On this Wednesday edition of the Health Fix Podcast, I'm interviewing and talking with my co-author, Beth Theodore. She's also an acupuncturist, just like me, all about her book, What's Up with Acupuncture. Now, obviously not everybody's into acupuncture, and that's okay. Thought a needle scares you, it's cool. What about acupressure? What about massage? What about any other therapy that you get? How can you get it to last longer? Because so many people come into my acupuncture office and be like, doc, if we could do this every day, my life would be like amazing. I would feel so good. And of course, that's why Beth and I got together and we're like, how can we help people to extend the therapies that they're getting? So yes, in the book, we talk about acupuncture. Yes, we help you to understand in terms of East Asian principles, how these things tie in together and how you can extend your treatment based on knowing what kind of constitution, meaning what kind of elements are predominant in your body. So for example, I'm very, very earth. Earth means that you tend to be somewhat grounded, but you also tend towards having a harder time with your digestive system. You gain weight a little bit easier. You tend to be a little bit more stockier. So what kind of element are you? Could you be more of a fire element? You're fiery, you're thinner, you're just on fire a lot. Easy to get angry, that kind of stuff. Or are you more of a metal or a water or a wood element? Now you might be thinking, what the heck is she talking about? This is five element theory, and Beth and I go into it in the book. But nevertheless, I want to give you a little teaser as to what we're going to be talking about, from your elements to how you really truly can take things like massage, take things like acupressure or acupuncture and extend them. And of course, this has a little bit of a lean towards East Asian medicine, but you know what? It applies to your entire life. How can you get the things that make you feeling good, like a weekend at the spa? How can you get that to last longer? We're going to tell you. So let's jump into the podcast with Beth and I chatting all about what's up with acupuncture and how you can extend your treatment. Hey, health junkies. Welcome to another episode of The Health Fix. I'm your host, Dr. Janine Krause. And on today's episode, I have Beth Theodore back on. And if you guys don't remember Beth from way back in the day, she was talking with me about the benefits of acupuncture. And since then, we've become friends, we've hung out, and we wrote a book. And today we're going to be talking all about our book, What's Up with Acupuncture. And for those of you who that have never had acupuncture, you're not really sure if you want it, this is the podcast for you, because you want to hear what you could get out of acupuncture and how you can extend those benefits to the rest of your life. So Beth, welcome back to the Health Fix Podcast.
Thank you so much, Janine, for having me.
So it's been a journey. We started writing this book back over a year ago, right? Like, it was, when was it exactly?
Yeah.
Let's think back.
I think we started writing it last spring or maybe even the end of last winter.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we brainstormed, then we met up in LA by where Beth is and got to hang out with this lovely little poolside gem of a hotel. And then, yeah, it just kind of like went from there. And so now you guys are probably hearing this, what's up with acupuncture? Like, what does that mean? Like, why do I need a book about acupuncture? Don't you just stick needles in people and things happen? Well, we're going to enlighten you on that one. But first, let's tell you a little bit about why we wrote this book. So Beth, I'm going to have you kick it off and give a little background on your, why you brought it to the table to be like, yeah, let's write a book on acupuncture.
So like you, I've been practicing for many years. We are surpassing 20 years now. And the first question I always get is, what is acupuncture? The second one is, does it hurt? So most people are open to trying something, but they're often afraid of the needles.
Yep.
And so with most of my patients, I really want to inform them. It's important for me that they understand what the treatment's about, because it's not just us treating them, it's them actually healing. Mm-hmm. So I was thinking, having this book or having a book to help explain the benefits, what they're actually gaining. helps it so they can go into even more depth. Because often when they're laying on your table or they're talking with you, they leave the office and they forgot everything. So here's an option, right? So here's an option for them to actually have a book on hand that will teach them not only what acupuncture is and what it can do for them, but then how to extend their benefits and really understand the core of what this medicine is all about. Because as you know, it's not just acupuncture, it's acupuncture and herbs and lifestyle management, diet, it's everything. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the main things that I wanted to bring together. And you and I have such a similar belief on helping the person heal holistically. So that's why I wanted to write it. And that's why I wanted to write it with you, because combining our two expertise with something that was so meaningful and truthfully a lot of fun.
Yeah, no, I had a great time, and I'm sure this will expand into something else, folks. So just stay tuned, because there'll probably be more addendums or like volume number two, or I don't know, we'll come up with something for it. But really, yeah, it's the concept of, yes, I have needles in you, and now you're a captive audience for me for 45 minutes. What can I do with you? My patients were always like, we always talk about such cool things in the office. And of course, don't get me wrong. If you're listening to this and you're going, well, I just want to relax when I get acupuncture, that can happen too. It just happens so that with some folks, when they first get started, I found that there were so many things I wanted to tell them. And they're chilling out. They're getting acu-stoned, as I call it, where they're getting that floaty feeling. And then they walk out and they're like, what did you tell me last week that I need to do? I forget what I'm supposed to do to get this to keep going. And then also, let's go on that acu-stone thing. I'm sure you've seen it a million times with people walking out of the office and they're floating and they're just like on a different plane versus when they came in. And they're like, how do I keep that going every day? Have you had folks say that to you, or at least like something of that nature?
Absolutely. I actually, the other day, had a patient tell me that I'm her favorite person to see all week. You know, she asked me not to tell her boyfriend, but, the benefits that she gets during the session and after the session are so substantial. And that's part of what makes this so fulfilling, is that not only does acupuncture help in the bigger picture, it helps people heal, but the experience itself feels good. Mm-hmm. And truthfully, I don't know really any other medicine where people look forward to seeing their physician or look forward to seeing their practitioner. And with acupuncture, they get this acu-stoned kind of feeling. And then again, after that wears off, they just feel healthier. And they feel healthier in ways that perhaps they didn't come in for. So they came in for back pain, but suddenly their digestion is better or their sleep is better. And that's the beauty of the medicine.
Yeah. No, I absolutely agree. Absolutely agree. I've been told that too. Like, this is my favorite appointment of the week, and I just can't wait. And now that I have turned my practice into a little bit more of a virtual practice, and I only go into the office every so often, I have folks that are like, I couldn't wait for you to come back into town. So those of you that are listening to this might be thinking, you know, if you've never had acupuncture, you might be thinking like, well, that sounds kind of strange. What is this acu-stone business? So Beth, let's talk about acu-stone and really the endorphins and how that happens. And of course, folks, our book goes into this in a little bit of detail, but I'd love for you to kind of explain your theory on it. And then we're going to talk about qi, because every acupuncturist has a different version of what qi is to them. And I think it's awesome to hear that too.
Yeah. So it's interesting that you mention endorphins and other chemical release, because as someone like yourself who's trained in acupuncture and naturopathy, you really understand a lot of the science and the biology of what happens when acupuncture needles go in. Mm-hmm. And for myself, as a classically trained acupuncturist, I do understand some of the actual biochemicals, like the endorphins, serotonin. I mean, there's a variety of things that get released. So on that subject, I would think you could go into that into a little bit more depth. But for myself, there's something that happens when number one, the person is laying on the massage table. We use a massage table, same as if you do go and get a massage, and they're relaxing there. The lights are either dim or they're out. It's either silent or there's soft music in the background. And that even of itself, it's the one time that they're not busy. They're not looking at their phones. They're not talking to their kids. They're not doing things that people in the busy world that they need to do. This is actually an opportunity for them to feel relaxed and peaceful. So that's part of it. And then just the needle insertion is very calming. So pretty much any point that you do is calming. And that almost seems counterintuitive because you're sticking needles in somebody to feel calm. Right. And a lot of people are afraid of that. And the truth is the needles are so thin that usually people don't even feel them going in. But what they do feel is seconds after, they're suddenly in a deep relaxed state. And so often when I come back into the room after their treatment is over, they don't know if they were asleep, if they were awake. They have no concept of time. It's like suddenly their body goes into this completely other realm.
Yeah.
And it's peaceful and it's relaxing. And there's something that happens that is almost beyond our understanding, or maybe you can explain it from the scientific standpoint, but it takes them to a place where it's almost like their body's just able to heal. And in a way that I haven't seen with any other type of medicine.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree. I would agree. I think it's a lot of the parasympathetic mode. So this is your chill mode that kicks in. And I think that mode just like will take us to a different level of deep relaxation that we don't have, you know, maybe when we're sleeping, obviously getting into like REM and things of that nature, but not at the same level. And for a lot of people, I mean, how often during the day do you just lay down and do nothing? And for some people, I think it's like their body is going into parasympathetic even deeper because they just haven't had the break during the day. Like it just isn't something that we do normally as humans, and just being able to give yourself this gift, like the body takes like full ownership of it and will send us to almost like a dreamlike state. I know there's been some research done in terms of brain waves that are emitted and kind of what if we go into theta waves versus delta versus beta, like whatever happens. And there are some interesting articles out there, which folks, I'll have to put that in the podcast notes because it is something fascinating to see in the different stages of acupuncture. There are brainwave studies, which is kind of cool to see that it does change your brain waves in addition to changing what's going on chemically, metabolically with inside you. Now, all that being said, we definitely talked about that concept of I'm putting the needles in, but I'm not putting energy into you. And this is one of the things that I felt like I've explained probably more than I can count with folks. And I think it's an important concept for folks to hear. Have you explained this too before? Kind of explaining how like, yeah, I'm just putting the needles in. Your body does everything else.
Yeah. So what we're doing is we're helping to guide the body to heal itself. And I think that's what's really important for people to understand. A lot of people have asked, is there anything in the needles? And there are different schools that use injections with needles, but with acupuncture, they're solid. Nothing goes in. But what it does is it tells your body or guides it towards healing itself.
Mm-hmm.
So some of the beauty of acupuncture is within each of us, we have the ability to heal. Mm-hmm. And acupuncture helps you along that path. So the reason it's so effective is the goal is to get you to heal. So then you don't need us anymore. You know, it's not something that, you know, like medicine, if you do have to take medicine, it's something that you may have to take long-term. The medicine is what's healing you. What we're doing as acupuncturists is helping your body heal itself. So then you continue to feel better even after the treatment is over.
Mm-hmm.
And so in this book, we're really helping you to understand really the theory behind all of it and what's going on and why your body's able to do that. So yeah, we're working with energy, but we're not giving you energy. We're not really manipulating your energy. We're just guiding it. It's a very gentle way to get your body's energy to do what it needs to do.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, it's essentially, we're just giving the signals. And anyone who's ever seen the pictures of acupuncture charts, or you've seen even those dolls that have all these lines and dots all over them, that's literally the system within the body that we're tapping into. And the cool part that I think is that the channels kind of follow our bloodstream and our nerves too, and lymphatics as well. So it's kind of like almost an overlay of what's going on with all of our blood vessels, veins, arteries, nerves, and even I think the lymphatic to an extent, because for example, folks, the lymphatic system runs kind of like, let's say on the inside of your thigh, for example, and the spleen channel runs on the inside there, the liver channel runs on the inside of there. Now the spleen has to do with making red blood cells, white blood cells, but it recycles these and it clears out viruses and infections. The spleen is like a very large lymph node, if you want to think of it that way. And so it's interesting that that channel's linked there. And then the liver, of course, is our detox organ. And those are all following where the largest lymph channels are in our body. And then we move through the stomach area and stomach channels and whatnot. So when you connect it back to anatomical science and what's going on, it's literally like the channels are overlaid on your system as it is, which is really cool because we know 5,000-ish years ago, whenever acupuncture was discovered, that they had no idea. There was no x-ray, there was no, you know, fancy MRIs. I mean, they had their ability to feel and touch and observe, which is something that we talk about in the book too. And something that I know with traditional Chinese medicine, for you, pulse and tongue and constitution are very big factors that you love to talk about and we've talked about before. So let's talk a little bit with folks about constitutions and what they can find in the book to learn more about themselves and what their acupuncturist might be working on, but also how they can keep things going as they move forward.
Yeah, so this is actually one of my favorite parts of the book because this is how you get to find out about what your constitution is. So some people might be wondering, what does that even mean, what your constitution is? So in Chinese medicine, there's different theories. So you mentioned qi. There's a theory of yin and yang, excuse me. And then there's the five elements. And each one of our bodies tends to be towards one element. We may have aspects of two, but generally we're one element. And so the more you understand what your body's constitution is, the more you're able to create a lifestyle that fits with that. And the reason that's so important, both for yourself and for us as acupuncturists, is then we know how to treat you. So your treatment might be different than somebody else's treatment, even though the two of you are experiencing the same thing. Yeah. So if two people come in with headaches, and one is an earth constitution and one is a fire constitution, in most cases, the cause of your headache will be something different, and the treatment will definitely be different. Mm-hmm. So in the beginning of the book, I think it might even be the very first chapter, we go over, we actually give you a quiz so you can decide what your constitution is. And then once you've discovered that, then you get to learn more about that constitution and what to do to keep you healthy. Mm-hmm. And so again, this is so meaningful because then we can look at your body and say, okay, if you're an earth body, what are going to be the best points for you? How well are you going to do with the treatment? And what are some lifestyle recommendations we can give you to continue the treatment? And this helps make each treatment very specific for each individual. And this is also important to know because with most medicine, it's the condition that's being treated. So again, if you have a headache, your headache is treated. If you have a stomach ache, and it's the same treatment for everybody. But as acupuncturists, we recognize that everybody is different. And every time we see you, it's going to be different. So understanding what your constitution is, what your condition is, what you're experiencing, perhaps the seasons, there's so much involved in that. And so it really all comes back to these five elements. And do you want to talk a little bit about the elements as well and the difference?
Okay, so the five elements. Of course, I always start with liver because for some reason, I think it's like the first thing we learn about because that's where all the emotions are processed according to Chinese medicine, but it's also kind of circulation, things of that nature. Then, you know, what element goes with the liver? It's wood. And then the next element is fire. And that goes with the heart, guys. And the heart and the wood and the liver, and you're probably like, what in the world? Well, we've got graphics for you to help like put this all together. But the heart goes with fire because heart fire can be things like anxiety. It could be insomnia, things of that nature. Now we also have the spleen and stomach that go along with earth and kind of your grounding and go with that type of element, dirt, soil, things of that nature. Then we have metal, which goes along with your lung. And I think the best way that I like to explain like that connection is sometimes you get that metallic-y taste in your mouth when you've really pushed yourself with your lungs. And so that's one of the things I kind of connect there so that you can kind of bring that internally. And then we also have water, which goes along with our kidneys. And our kidneys are essentially filtration of liquids, right, in the body. So that kind of makes sense. But they're also so much more than that. They're like our batteries. And on top of our kidneys sit these little glands called the adrenal glands. And if you haven't heard of those, they're very tied in, even though in Chinese medicine, as far as I know, in the ancient texts, they say nothing about adrenals. Did you catch anything on adrenal glands? Beth, I don't think I saw anything.
They don't. I see them as connected to the kidney. And I think as the medicine has evolved, I think they do talk about them as being part of the kidney, but in the ancient texts, definitely not.
Definitely not. But shows to the wisdom of how they knew even at that time that your kidney to your kidney energy has so much to do with your vitality, your batteries and things of that nature. So those are our five main elements, but our five main organs as well. And each of these have paired organs and things of that nature. It gets a little bit more complicated as we stack from there. But these are also, all of these organs are connected to channels. And in particular, there are 14 main channels and there are 8 extra channels. And these are things that we don't go into incredibly deep with the book, but these are where we're going to be putting acupuncture points and where Beth and I spent our 4 years of learning what all these points are and what they do, like their effect on the body and why we choose one point over another. And that's kind of part of the magic, if you will, in terms of what's happening in our head.
Well, and another thing I want to say as well with the points, and this goes with herbs as well, is that while each point is very important that we line them up with what you need, it's also the combination of points. Mm-hmm. So I like to look at points and herbs as a recipe, and often they work together. And so one point might be effective, but then you put it with another point and suddenly... Yep. It's exponentially more effective. And so that's also what we're doing is we're deciding which point is going to be specific for your particular body, your particular condition, as well as what are the other points that are going to assist with that. Mm-hmm. And that's why, and we talk about this a little bit in the book, when you have a headache, why are we putting needles in your foot? You know, maybe on your head, on your feet, and on your hands. And why is that? And so we do go into some depth in the book on that. And the beauty of it, I do have to say, the beauty of the book is that you can read as much depth as you need to. So if you want to understand the theory of all of these, you can read about that and really stop and think about it and understand it. And then if you really want to just touch on it, but learn a little bit more about yourself or learn what you can do, there's that option as well. So there's a variety of different chapters that really break all of it down. And the more you know, the more you can really understand and implement. And again, you can spend more time on certain chapters than other chapters. They're each chapter is unto itself. It doesn't necessarily have to do with reading it in that particular order.
Yeah, that's true. You can kind of pick and choose. And the cool part too of knowing like what element that you resonate with more, and you'll find that out from the quiz. That's how you figure out your constitution. You can also figure out what kind of foods would be better to eat, you know, for you as a whole, what types of rituals after acupuncture might be more useful as a whole and things of that nature too. That's probably a good spot to segue into the rituals around acupuncture, because as we are creatures of habit, but also creatures of very fast paced lifestyle, sometimes us acupuncturists will see habits that do not extend your treatment that we'd love to help you change to help you to get the most out of your treatment. So Beth, what have been some of the things that you've really seen to be something you want to highlight to folks to do before or after a treatment to make sure that they can get more out of it?
Yeah. So I think both are essential. And we talk about this a little bit in the book where don't have a drink before your treatment, except maybe some water. And the same goes for after the fact. What you want to do is you want to come into the treatment with your stomach full enough that you're not hungry, but not so full. You know, it's maybe eating a little bit 30 minutes, an hour before your treatment is going to be really helpful. Drinking enough water, but not so much that you're laying on the table thinking you have to use the bathroom. So when you come in, I always recommend using the bathroom, making sure you feel as comfortable in your body as you can. So when you're laying there, you're not worrying about that. Mm-hmm. And then afterwards, taking some time to just really relax. Don't go in for an exercise routine after a treatment. Don't go back to work if you don't have to. And if you do, taking some time between the treatment and your job. So my office is fairly close to the beach. And if patients can, I always recommend go to the beach, watch the water, put your feet in the sand, whatever it is, for at least 10 minutes before going back to work. So it's really important that you come in feeling sober, feeling comfortable and relaxed, and that you leave in the same way before re-entering your life.
Mm-hmm. I would wholeheartedly agree. I mean, I've had the gamut. Patients come in stoned, patients come in drunk, and you're like, I get it. You're chill. You're coming in. You want to be extra chill. But those kind of things are altering to your neurochemical system. And the acupuncture needles have quite an effect on your neurochemical system. I mean, I've even had people who are hungover pretty severely come into a visit and, well, acupuncture is detoxing. You know what happened next? And it's, you know, and I will ask, you know, if I smell it on someone, I'm going to ask. And a lot of people will tell me, unless I know them really well. And, you know, it's just not a key situation. And so for a lot of people, you know, I've had a lot of people tell me over the years, well, I tried acupuncture once and it didn't do anything. And this is what probably the biggest one of the reasons I wanted to write the book is to help folks kind of think about, well, if it didn't do anything then, what do you think could have impeded it? One, belief that it's not going to do anything. Well, you could pretty much believe that your cancer treatment's not going to help you and block it there too. I mean, you have a lot of power over your mind. But then, you know, the other side of it is what happened in your session. And we touch a little bit on looking for a practitioner that is, you know, going to give you the most out of your session. And so in terms of us being catalysts and not fixers, we're not here to fix you up, but we're definitely here to give your body what it needs. And so one of the big things that Beth and I find is a big pet peeve is using the same needles. Practitioners to use the same needles every single time that a patient comes in. And we're not here to bash anyone else. What we're here for is, well, if there's this basic prescription of points that everybody gets and it's not tailored to you, could be a reason why it didn't do anything. So I'm going to let you kind of tell folks what your opinion is of when folks say, well, I tried acupuncture, but it didn't work.
Yeah. So there are, like you said, a variety of different reasons. First of all, one time it's just not going to work. Mm-hmm. It's like if you decide that you want to get into better shape and you go to the gym once, and you say, well, it didn't work. One time will never work. We're retraining your body. And depending on how long you've had your particular condition could determine how long the treatment will take. Mm-hmm. Your level of health will also make a big difference. Yeah. And it's interesting because beliefs can definitely affect it. However, even if you don't believe in it, it still works. And this has been proven by acupuncture on animals. Mm-hmm. And more you're hearing about this. And animals really have no clue what you're doing. At least consciously, they don't. Mm-hmm. And they do get better. So beliefs are really dangerous if you're very against it.
Yes.
Now, beyond that, a lot of it is also lining yourself up with a practitioner that's right for you.
Right.
They're all completely different. Mm-hmm. And there are some acupuncturists who they treat you the same way every time. And a lot of times they're doing that because maybe they have 5 other patients going at the exact same time. So they're not really giving you the time that you need. And sometimes that's okay. For some conditions and some people, the same points may work and maybe that's working for them. There's something called community acupuncture where mm-hmm. a bunch of people are sitting on chairs in a room. I've not seen it, so I don't know exactly what it looks like, but mm-hmm. It's a way to have acupuncture and it's a lot less expensive, but you're just not getting that individualized treatment. So sometimes that's effective. Oftentimes it doesn't lead to long-term benefits when you're receiving that same treatment every time.
Mm-hmm.
So what's important for the two of us is that each session is individualized and that you just click with your acupuncturist. Again, yeah. Like anyone else, it's got to be the right fit.
Mm-hmm.
And then once it is, then there's a few different aspects of it. So with both Janine and myself, we find it really important to sit down and discuss lifestyle management with our patients. Mm-hmm. So let's say, for instance, you're coming in with stomach pain, acid reflux. Well, if you go home and you have a bottle of wine and you have McDonald's, you're just not going to get better. I mean, it's just the way it is. You're affecting the body in a negative way. And so you're counteracting the benefits of acupuncture. So acupuncture will help. And then you want to take measures to actually feel better. And sometimes you may not know what they are. And they may be different for you than the latest craze. You know, there's not one way. Some people do good with a vegetarian diet. Some people do good with more protein. Whatever it might be, it's what's right for you. And so what you and I both agree on is that part of the treatment is helping somebody to continue their benefits by changing their lifestyle, potentially, or adding to it, making some fine-tuning adjustments to their diet, their exercise routine, perhaps adding meditation, whatever it is, it's the combination of all of these that help you to heal.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I mean, that's well said. That's well said. Cause that's my thought process as well. And, you know, having come from a practice where I was seeing 3 to 4 people an hour and I had to slow it down because I felt that I wasn't, you know, using all of the comprehensive tools that we have as acupuncturists to help people, but also I wasn't getting the time to talk about, hey, you know, each time, so for example, folks, each time you come in, your pulse feels different. You feel different to us. And what does that mean? It means that you're changing on a daily basis within your parameter of who you are, your constitution. And so what's fascinating is that we have to take that into account. And so this is why we would switch a certain point from one day to another. And like, for example, let's take a person who has digestive stuff and one day they might have bloating, but the other day they might have acid reflux, or they just might have more of a stomach ache. We would change the treatment based on that. And then we talk about, you know, kind of what did you eat? You know, what can we do to improve this? What kind of foods would be good for this or that? And really for me, it's more giving acupuncture much more meaning than just, hey, doc, fix me, put the needles in, I'll feel good for a couple of days and then I'll have to come back. I mean, obviously I want people to come back. We all do, but the idea is more, how can we have you feeling better for longer in between these treatments? And that's essentially what Beth and I were going with for the book, is we want you to have an extended benefit. Yeah, we'd love to see you every single day. I'm sure Beth would love to see certain people every single day too for treatments. But it's cost-wise is not, you know, effective for most people. And so instead, we're trying to just lengthen the time of the benefits in between sessions. So Beth, one of the things that a lot of people ask me, and we didn't cover it in detail in the book because I think more or less it's a based per person kind of situation. What is your usual frequency between sessions for people that when you're working with general health and well-being versus like aches or pains or something of that nature?
Yeah. Usually I like to see people once a week, especially at the beginning. Mm-hmm. On occasion, depending on what they're going through, especially with an acute situation, I might do twice a week. Sometimes with certain conditions, let's say with fertility, which has more recently become very popular because they've shown that it's so effective, both with natural fertility and with medically assisted. Mm-hmm. But in any case, with that said, I may work around their cycles.
Yeah.
But in terms of frequency, I like to see somebody once a week. And sometimes that might mean that they're doing their own acupressure. And we can talk about that a little bit as well. But maybe it means that they're adding one new thing into their diet once a week that's going to change things. Maybe they're taking herbs throughout the week. But I find with spreading it out in that way, I can really see the difference. Mm-hmm. And just to kind of go a little bit with the pressure, sometimes I'll do this with patients who come into the office, and sometimes it's virtual patients where there's one or two points, maybe three, that if they press, it will help them. So certain people that have struggle sleeping or with anxiety, there are certain points that will help to calm them so they can go into a sleep state. Or it can help them if they're feeling panicky. So something like that is an example. Mm-hmm. But in general, I do like to start once a week, and then we reevaluate after a few sessions. Do we need to continue? Do we need to add more? Or do we need to space it out even more?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's kind of how I had typically practiced before. I started going back and forth a little bit more. Now I see people, you know, every other month, monthly, or now quarterly, and it's been fun. But you know, of course, it's in this book, of course, the one of the main reasons Beth and I wanted to write it was because we wanted people to think about acupuncture as being a wellness tool, not necessarily something you have to go when there is something that's actually happening, you have overt symptoms. It's like, how can acupuncture help with longevity? How can it help with overall wellness? How can it be that catalyst to help you to just kind of get into parasympathetic chill mode more often? And one of the things that I think will probably come in our next edition is my talk about getting into a lot of patients, having them track their heart rate variability and looking at their heart rates after acupuncture and seeing how it's helped with the projection of the HRV improving over time because of the effect of acupuncture getting them into parasympathetic mode, but then extending it with acupressure. And we didn't go into great detail on acupressure in the book, folks. We talk about it, but we're not giving you all the points, but we might come up with like the special point sauce at some point is what I'm thinking.
Yeah. Well, and a lot of the reason we didn't is that everyone's different and every time is different. So you may be using a point that is no longer effective for you. You know, I mean, like you said, there are certain points that you probably can do daily and you'd be fine. There's one point in particular that if you press every day can help boost your immune system. So
how, folks, what is it?
It's a very common point that every acupuncturist knows, but it's under the knee. It's called stomach 36, and it's a point on the stomach meridian. And the reason this point is so effective is it boosts the immune system. It boosts your energy level and it helps with your digestion. And so that also ties into having a healthy gut makes you healthy everywhere. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Also, I wanted to comment on something that you just said, that acupuncture is not just for when you're not well. Mm-hmm. If you do acupuncture, even when you're well, it just helps to keep you feeling good. It's right. Sort of like a tune-up. It helps your body run more efficiently. So you're not coming in and when you're in complete exhaustion mode.
Yeah.
Or we're catching something when it's maybe a slight muscle twinge before your back goes out.
Yeah.
And that's the benefit. So sometimes I'll have people who come in maybe weekly just for tune-up, or maybe monthly, or maybe just a couple times a year. They just feel like they want to feel a little bit better, or they want to boost their immune system just a little bit more. And I know we had kind of started to touch on it, but I thought we should talk just a little bit about qi, because it's such a central theme in Chinese medicine. So do you want to start with that?
Oh boy, qi. Okay. So, and it's funny that I even say that, because like my business is named Q Vitality Studio because of qi being, you know, you could spell qi C-H-I or you could spell it Q-I, and I decided to go with the letter Q, just because it sounded like fun, some decade plus ago. So anyway, qi to me is really that the ion movement and the endorphin movement, it's more or less molecule movement. If I break it down to the most basic way that I describe it to patients, is molecule movement between the points, but also molecule movement, energy kind of feeling that you can feel when you can even put your hand above your arm. So it's that third sense you have that someone's about to tap you over the shoulder before they actually do. Like you turn just as they're tapping you over the shoulder. How do you respond to that? It's molecule movement there, because what's happening is you can sense their energy field. You could sense their electrical charges, so ions, and literally your ions will move to that area. They will call you to that direction. And so you might think I sound super woo-woo right now, folks, but if you look at any data out there on we're electrical beings. We have positive and negative charges within us, and we can sense things. That's how we signal. That's how we move. And so qi essentially is the movement of ions along with calling different nutrients, calling different cytokines, so different chemical messengers throughout the body. And it is, with acupuncture, we're literally helping someone move their ions better and move their circulation better. I do believe that at the root of most illness is poor circulation. And how does that impact us? Well, if we're stressed and we're in sympathetic stress mode all the time, we're gonna have poor circulation. Lymphatic stuff, you know, swelling, things of that nature. Any area in your body that does not have good blood flow has potential for issues.
So yeah, and I mean, the blood brings nutrients throughout the body, you know? So we need to have good circulation. And qi, I even would look at, if, you know, even from like an energetic standpoint, is it's what animates everything. So scientifically, that completely makes sense with what you're talking about. And everything moves, no matter what it is, even an object that looks like it's a solid object. If you look at it under a deep microscope, you'll see that there are things moving around in there. And so that's just the way our world works. When we're working with qi, and often you'll hear an acupuncturist talk about it if they do talk about it with you, when the qi is seen as stagnant, so as you were saying, it's not circulating properly, for instance, you're going to tend to have a lot of pain, a lot of stress. And sometimes the qi is what's called deficient, and then you might feel weaker or tired, or your body systems just aren't working as well. And so that's really what we're affecting. We're trying to help your body just to run more efficiently. And that's essentially what qi is.
Yeah. It's your body's it's like your body's electrical fuel source, if you will. That's why when we can go outside and we can go stand in the sand, or we can stand in the grass, or even like on dirt or concrete, you can get some electrical charge from that, which sounds super bizarro, but your earth ground, you know, it's all has charges. We use stainless steel needles, interestingly enough, in Chinese medicine, and those needles actually can call red blood cells to them because of the charge that they have as a metal. Now, other people believe, if we go even deeper in it, that when they use gold needles, which gold needles are, in my world, I will use gold needles at certain times of fertility treatments. And that's kind of my MO. I only use them for certain things when we're with ovulation, when we're with a golden needle treatment, and when someone is pregnant at a certain stage of their pregnancy, I will use a golden needle. Now, straight up gold, it does have, it's plated. Let's be real. I can't afford a full solid gold needle, and I wouldn't throw it away after, because we want disposable needles to be clean. But nevertheless, this golden needle thing is a real deal with different metals. And the idea in my mind behind it, some folks have different opinions. I'm looking at the energetics of that metal, what it does for qi movement. And, you know, tuning forks, one of my other favorite things to use, vibration essential oils, I even believe, have some impact on what moves in terms of ions as well. E-stim, electrical stim type of acupuncture too, if you've ever tried that. There's so many cool ways, and even your own energetic vibe of what you bring to the table each day when you come into acupuncture can have an effect too on what's going on with chi. So just your mood. So it's wild stuff, and I absolutely love the heck out of it.
And I wanted to comment on something that you just said that we haven't mentioned so far, is our needles are disposable. You want to make sure that any acupuncturist that you see uses disposable needles. And I would say at least 95% of them do. I'm assuming 5% don't. I don't know. It might even be less than that. At a different time, I think they did use perhaps an autoclave to clean them. However, now really to maintain true cleanliness, we use one needle per insertion, and then we dispose of it in a sharps container. And we do mention that in the book, but I want to mention that here as well. So you know that it is very clean and it will remain clean. And we swab the point to stay clean as well.
Some debate. We had talked about that. There's some debate on, you know, a lot of acupuncturists, you know, this research came out that we don't necessarily have to use alcohol to clean the points, but Beth and I both figured that, you know, I think I'm still going to use a little alcohol to clean the points. Yeah. It's, you know, it's come a long way with acupuncture since using whale bones, you know, way back in the day. Thank goodness we don't have to use that. Larger pieces of needles. I mean, there's different sizes. Let's talk about that for a second, because I think a lot of people, their first thought with needles is maybe they poke themselves while trying to sew or to, you know, repair something on their own. And if not that, it's a blood draw needle is what your mind goes to. And acupuncture needles are 10 times plus more thinner than those in terms of the gauge. So for example, a typical blood draw needle is about 21 gauge, 22 gauge, or 23 if you get a small butterfly. Acupuncture gauges, the higher the number, the smaller the thickness of it. And in particular, you know, we'll get Beth to give her opinion. When I do some needles, because I do a lot of musculoskeletal work, when I see folks, I need a little bit thicker of a needle to get through some of the spots I'm going to get to motor points where the nerve goes into the muscle. So I'll use things like 30, 32 gauges. But if I'm doing a calming wellness type of session, I'm using 34 to 36 gauge needles. What are you using on
that? Yeah. So I even go one step further. I do treat a lot of people with emotional and trauma based conditions. Mm-hmm. And sometimes this ties into their other situation that they're going through. So a lot of women who have menstrual imbalances mm-hmm. or fertility challenges also have some emotional stuff going on in there as well. So I actually use 38 and 40 gauge, mm-hmm. which is interesting because those are really skinny. And depending on the person and their sensitivity, sometimes they still feel it. And I find that often the ones that feel it the most are people who tend to be either very empathetic, very sensitive souls, mm-hmm. tend to feel the needles more. Most of my healer patients who are healers themselves tend to feel the needles the most. And there's something about it that, it, you know, to be in that field, there's a certain level of sensitivity that we need. And so they do tend to feel the needles, but I really, when I insert them, I'm so focused on the energy that's going through it that often they'll feel the needle going in, even though they're very, very skinny. Mm-hmm. Depending on the area of the body. So if they have back pain or hip pain, and I'm working on an area of the body that's a little fleshier, I may use, most of the needles I use are about an inch. I may use an inch and a half or 2 inches on something like that. You might go deeper because you do more musculoskeletal work. But when I use the longer needles, then they may be a little bit thicker, but the thickest I use are 36 gauge.
Yeah. And this is why I wanted Beth to explain that, because I knew that she's thinner ones. And if I'm doing a treatment that is much more of a chill kind of session, I'm going to switch my needles out as well. In fact, folks, there are Japanese style needles. There's Korean needles. There's Chinese needles. There's now even American needles. There are multiple different types of needles out there. In our industry, folks joke that the Chinese needles hurt the worst. The Japanese needles are the most chillest. I'd probably say that's true. They're called Sarans. A lot of those are I like them. They're very mellow. That's typically what you use, right, Beth?
Well, and Sarans are coated, so they go in a little smoother, besides being thinner. And I do use those, and there's some other needles I use. But, you know, you do point out something that there are different needles and different schools of thought. So there is a Chinese style of acupuncture, a Japanese style, and then there's a British style where they really focus on the five elements. Mm-hmm. There are so many different styles. And so that's the thing that makes this medicine really unique, is there's a lot of different styles. And then the practitioner is also going to approach it from a different perspective as well. So you could see two different acupuncturists and have two completely different experiences.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's important to know as well. If you see somebody, even if everyone told you that they're the best and they don't work well with you, try somebody else, because you will find someone that resonates with you.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely agree. And I think, you know, to sound a little woo-woo completely, I think energetics make a whole difference. Like, do you resonate with the person or not? And their needling style, you know, their hands coming, you know, I'm not putting my energy in you, obviously, as we've mentioned before, but you can feel that person's vibration as well. And if they're not grounded themselves, you can feel that too. And sometimes that can be the difference between a good session and not a stellar session. And, you know, sometimes that's something to take into account as well. So what would I say in that? You know, I've been there as an acupuncturist, running around crazy between visits and trying so hard in the hallway to calm myself down. And, you know, I think for a lot of practitioners, it's not something I want to call people out on. It is what it is, but just, you know, find someone that you resonate with and can have a good conversation with and enjoy going to see. Like Beth and I both said at the beginning of this, if that's the best part of your week, that's what we want. That's totally what we want. And, you know, with the book, What's Up with Acupuncture? I mean, the biggest thing that we wanted you guys to get out of this is, how can you use acupuncture as a tool to launch your total wellness, like overall wellness? We've talked a lot about different aspects of acupuncture. Hopefully we've given you a really good insight into the world of acupuncture and what it can do for you. I would love for Beth to talk a little bit about where she's practicing. And of course, where we can find the book, because we can find it on both of our websites, but also the big caveat here is we are going to be releasing our book in a paperback soon. It's right now in an ebook version. And I'm gonna let Beth take it away for that. I've been talking too much.
Yeah, no, she's absolutely right. We have an ebook format in a variety of different places. So besides Amazon Kindle and the Nook through Barnes & Noble, there's, I believe, four other places that you can get them. So you can check on either of our websites. Mine is beththeodore.com. And what's your website?
DrJKrausND.com.
Yes. So you can find them on either of our websites. And my practice is located in Torrance, which is in Southern California. And I'm part of the Beach Cities, South Bay area of Southern California. I have people driving in from all over Los Angeles. If you know LA, it's a very big city. So very easy to get to. I also offer virtual sessions to people all over the world. And I do wellness retreats globally as well. So to find out more, you can go to my website and there'll be more information on that. Again, it's Beth Theodore, BethTheodore.com. And you can find the book there and you can just look around and find more information on where I'll be and a little more about my practice.
And the setting that her practice is in is lovely. So if you are down in the LA area and you want to pop in and get a really good idea of what a chill session is like, Beth Scott, she's got the setup and the great location. As for me, I am in Tacoma, Washington. We have a beach, but it's not California. What can I say? It's a whole different vibe. And I'm there quarterly now versus being there full time. So I'm quite virtual these days. And really my MO here in this venture with the book is really helping folks to get the most out of their acupuncture. If you're seeing another practitioner, I'm here to help to get you, you know, the best or the most out of it. Say your practitioner doesn't have the time to help you. I can help out with that. I'm also obviously a naturopathic doctor. So I'm going to help you with other sides of things, with labs and things of that nature. Beth can do that too, by the way, folks. And the other big thing for me is just really, I love acupuncture. I love the benefits. And I do want my patients to be getting acupuncture of some type, no matter where they live. And also, I love teaching how to use acupressure and whatnot on yourself. So nevertheless, I'm doing this because I really want folks to get the benefits of acupuncture, because I've seen it be so crucial in my life and so many others. It's changed so many people's lives. So What's Up With Acupuncture is available everywhere you can possibly think of for books, but also Beth and I are available to help you out. So if you enjoyed this podcast, you want to learn more, you can always hit us up, ask us questions. I'm sure we'll be coming up with more information and probably some more books as time goes on. So stay tuned for more exciting news. Thanks again, Beth, for coming on. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much. This was really fun.
Hey, fellow health junkie, thanks for listening to the Health Fix podcast. If you enjoyed tuning in, please help support me to get the word out about the podcast. Subscribe, rate, and review, and just get that word out. Thanks again for listening.